Amen. Let's pray. Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that we have this time here this morning, this opportunity, Lord, that is passing by very quickly. Lord, we know that our lives are in your hands, and our lives are very brief, Lord. And how we live today is very important, and the decisions we make. So, Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, and as the song went, teach us to number our days. Lord, we need you, Lord. And just pray, God, that you would anoint my lips here this morning, that you would be able to speak through me, Lord, and minister to the needs of each one, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, Lord, and your goodness, and your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's a blessing to be here, and just to listen in. I would have loved to just sit and listen some more. When it comes to time, I've probably said it here before, but it just seemed like time just speeds up. It's the last few years, especially, it seems the time is just picking up speed. And I know that my life is, going to come to an end this afternoon. Planning to go to a funeral. One of the neighbors passed away. Not even 70 years old yet. It doesn't seem very old anymore. And so may God help us as we plan and as we live our lives, that they are for the glory of God. I want to preach out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 to 18 this morning. The book of 1 John, I find, is a very simple, the way it is written. It's either light or it's darkness, it's love or it's hate. It seems like it's very clear in that way, and sometimes so plain that you almost maybe ask, really, is it really that way? For example, the brother who hates, the one who hates his brother is in darkness. And yeah, is that really so? And what does that mean? For a title, I chose I don't see the pen here now. Did he grab it away?
Underneath.
Oh yeah. God's children are manifest. God's children are manifest. The Bible says we are the light. And another thing is, we as God's children have God's approval. Sometimes in life, we notice. When I was younger in school, and we picked teams, and we'd line up, and then each team would be choosing, and you could see by whom they chose first, who they thought was probably the better player
for their team. And they had the approval in a sense. And sometimes that can make one feel either proud because you have the approval or the opposite because you're the last one in the line and you don't feel like you're really needed. Now, maybe that approval has a deeper meaning than that. I think it probably does. When we talk about we as God's people having God's approval, you think how that affects the world. When we go as children of light, and there's a child of darkness, and as the First John would put it, a child of the devil. Basically, is what it seems that I find it hard to say that. But anyways, the one in the darkness and the one in the light, the one has the approval and the one does not. How does the one in the darkness feel about the one who has God's approval? And it seems to me that that is where the persecution comes from, where people are there's jealousy. And I don't know that it's always like written out as jealousy, but to a large extent, I think that's what it is. Let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Who are the children of God? The children of God are the ones that do righteousness. Whosoever doeth righteousness is a child of God. And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So one very simple thing that comes out, especially in 1 John, is love. Love. If we love our brother, then we walk in the light and we are children of God. That's how simple he puts it. Now, what does it mean to be a child of God? Matthew 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So children of God are peacemakers. Peacemakers. In this world, we know there is much fighting, and I think all of us know that there's a war that's been going on for a while now in Ukraine. It's not peace. There is much strife and fighting. But as God's children, we are here to bring peace. And yet Jesus said that he came to bring a sword. And that's another aspect, but I'm not going to really look at that part. But we are here to bring peace. We are not people that are full of strife. We are not here to fight. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. So as God's children, as peacemakers, we seek to edify one another. We seek how we can bless. And Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19, these six things the Lord doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Children of God must not sow discord. We must not bring divisions among brethren. Children of God are peacemakers. That is one of the ways that we are seen, should be seen. A child of God is a peacemaker. God's peace is ruling in the hearts of his children. I have here written down, love equals peace. I think without love, there cannot be peace. And where there is peace, there must be love. It goes together, like many other things of the Spirit of God. So when we as God's people gather together, and there is love, and then there is peace. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 15. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the perfect bond, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, a child of God is ruled by the peace of God. That has often spoken to me and been a blessing to me. And to think about peace ruling. Peace is like a king. If you go and you need to make decisions and things happen in your life, and you're going and all at once you don't sense peace, what do you do? As a child of God, what do? If you sense this next step, you're just not feeling comfortable with it, you can't take it. Do you let the peace of God rule in your heart, or do you not? If the action that I will do will take the peace of God from me, then I won't do it, right? Or I dare not, unless I don't value the peace of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gives peace to his children. And so when we as God's people gather together, there is peace. Philippians 4, 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So there is, when God's children have balance in their life, I'm sure we can all grow in that. But God is near to his children. And therefore, we have a balance. It keeps us from going to the extremes. It keeps us in the middle of the road. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we see how love is the key. Where the peace of God dwells, there also is his love. Peace in the brotherhood also means there is love. There is no striving and fighting to be on top. Each seeks to honor and respect the other. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So children of God have crucified the flesh, and therefore the lust of the flesh is no longer in control in our lives. Christ rules. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Again, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And I guess I could put love on top here. God's children are full of love, and that's just how it is. One thing that it seems clear is that love and light also go together. We see that the one who does not love his brother is in darkness, and in here in this passage it says he's a murderer. So where there is not love, there is darkness. But where there is love, there is light. Like it says in the first chapter of 1 John about walking in the light, walking in fellowship, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Jesus Christ, who is the light and was the light. This is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is full of light. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So as children of light, we are not ashamed of what we are doing. We are not ashamed. We are open. We are not afraid to be exposed, our actions. We don't do things in the dark hoping that nobody sees. No, we come to the light because God is light. God is love, and we are his, and we live in the light. We live openly as brothers. How would it work in a brotherhood if we were not transparent? If we were doing shady things and we tried to hide it and hope nobody sees, how would a life like that work in a brotherhood? And we know, of course, that does not work. Love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So unselfish would be another characteristic of the people of God. unselfish, we're generous, we love to bless others. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. I would like to turn to Genesis 4. If you want, you can turn Genesis 4 and just read that part of that account there. Cain and Abel, which is familiar to most of us, I'm sure. But I'd just like to go over it. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and there thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, and on the east of Eden. God's children will expose sin. Cain was exposed. Did Abel try to, by his good sacrifice, try to do anything in regards to Cain? I think the answer is no. He was simply bringing a sacrifice to God. God had respect unto Abel, but not unto Cain. Cain was aware of it, was he not? How he knew, I don't know exactly, but he knew. He knew. Did God speak in a different way to these men than he does today? I don't know, but Cain knew. Abel's offering is accepted. Mine is not. And I believe that is basically where the persecution comes from. There is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and there are the spirits of darkness that are working. And we know that as Christians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the forces of darkness in the heavenly realms, principalities and powers. We have God's approval. The children of the devil do not. For Cain, it made him so angry that he killed Abel. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. It seems like Cain failed to see his wrong. In this whole account here, we don't see Cain acknowledging that he was wrong. He was angry, and he could not be reasoned with. He was just plain angry. And when God punished him, he felt it was too harsh of a punishment. I think he felt he didn't deserve it. And I think another word that we could use here is jealousy. Jealousy. Cain was jealous. I think we could say he was jealous of Abel. Did Cain want God's approval? It seems like he must have, but he wanted to get it in his own way. Children of God seek God's approval, or have found God's approval, because they have accepted the Lord's way. And the sad thing about Cain, verse 16, that verse just really stands out to me, because it says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's a sad thing. And it seems he never, ever came back into the presence of the Lord. He had obviously been in the presence of the Lord, because he went out. How do we respond in a brotherhood when we see a brother that is given some position of honor that we maybe thought we should have had? Or we see a brother just simply being, you know, recognized for something he did. What is our response? I think these things happen in small ways, you know, where we are maybe being put to the test sometimes of our love for our brother. Do we love to see our brother being honored, being lifted up and recognized? When we are full of hatred, we cannot dwell with God. 1 John 3:12, again, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So one thing, we are hated. You think the opposite should be true, because we are loving. We're people that are full of love. And yet the world hates the children of God. But one thing also, like I already mentioned, love will expose, because love is light. And we walk in love, we walk in holiness and in purity. Our lives are a light. The righteousness that we do, the things that we do, we're not ashamed of what we're doing, because we're walking in the light. We are walking. We know where we are going. We can see. And we just simply walk, and we simply live We don't live necessarily to put people under, expose them, and yet, in a sense, we do. We are to. It says we should have nothing to do with the works of darkness, but we should rather expose them. And so, as we walk in love, you know, in another place it says something about that they will know that we are the children of God by our love. That is really the most powerful example as Christians is to show the world that we are the children of God by our love. That's how the world will know. That speaks the loudest and the clearest when brothers and sisters work together in unity and where there is love. Another example of a man who was hated, Stephen. Stephen had God's approval. He really did. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 7, verse 54 to 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How did Stephen have the authority to say what he said before this to these people? He exposed them. He said how it was. He had the light. He could see. And therefore he could say what he said because he had light, because God had given him that light and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in this case, he did very directly say what the issue was. But Stephen, he died in peace. Physically, it was not peaceful with all the stones flying around him, but in his heart there was peace. And he saw. He was not in the darkness. What did he see? He saw heaven open. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen had God's approval. Jesus was hated. John 19, a few verses from there, 5 to 7. Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Then Jesus answered him, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Jesus was hated by the Jews. He was misunderstood. They were in the darkness. The Jews were in the darkness. They couldn't see. They didn't recognize Jesus as for who he was, even though he plainly spoke to them. 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I find it interesting how simple John writes. It's, if we love the brethren, if we love the brothers, we're children of God. This love that he's talking about is not just, it must be something very deep and profound, and it is. And it is the love of God that dwells in us that makes this possible. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you have doubts whether you are born again, whether you are a child of God, here's one question that you should ask yourself. Do I love the brotherhood? Do I love the brethren? How is it? How's my relationship to my brethren? Is it good? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Love is life, hatred is death. Suffering is normal for a Christian to suffer for righteousness. We shouldn't be surprised when that happens. It should be normal. 1 Peter 2, verse 20 to 25. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even here unto were we called, were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, knowing, setting an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your souls. When we suffer quietly as children of God. Because we are children of the light and we know who we are. We know our place with God. We know we have God's approval. And we don't have to try to fight our way to the top or anything like that. When we are truly in the right, then we can be quiet. The people that are not sure of whether they are in the right and are not confident are going to be louder, most likely, a lot louder. But if you know that you are in good standing with God and that's all clear, you are in the light, you see. You see the situation from God's point of view, as it were, and you're in the light, you can rest. You know that you're in God's hands. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let God work. May God be glorified. We're not here to glorify ourselves, to lift up our own ideas or anything. We're here to glorify God. I'd like to look at an example of love, and that comes from 1 Samuel. Jonathan and David, they loved each other. And then there's Saul, the king, who ended up hating David. Two extremes. One of love and one of hate. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. We see here commitment. Commitment. Isn't that what love does? Those of you who are married, on your wedding day, what did you do? We made a vow, right? Why? Because you had to? That's part of the marriage ceremony. But you, because you loved your spouse, it's just comes natural, does it not? Commitment. I will love you till death do us part, or however it all goes. David made a commitment to Jonathan. Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Why? Jonathan wanted to see David rise. Did he not? Whatever it takes, brother, I'm here. I'll stand by you. I will help you. I will help you up. I see that God has a calling on your life. I will help you attain to that. That's what Jonathan did. That's what love will do. Verse 17. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And that reminds me of what Jesus said, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. That's what Jonathan did. Verse 41, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one on another until David exceeded. Now this is after it was clear that Saul was after David to kill him. And Jonathan had brought the message to David. And David just broke down and wept. I think he was almost beside himself with tears. He had just married, had he not? He was with Michelle there, I think, at that time. That was pretty fresh. And he had done a lot of very good things. But Saul wanted to kill him. I don't know if I can quite imagine what all went through David's mind. But it was extreme. And Jonathan wept along with David. The Bible says, weep with them that weep. How could Jonathan weep with David? Because he loved him. That's why. He cared. He had a close, as we read earlier, he had a very close connection with David. And he wept with David till David calmed down. Till David had cried, probably till the tears no longer came. This is love. Earlier, before this, Jonathan gave David his armor. 1 Samuel 18:3-4, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Unselfish? Yes. I don't know what value this had to Jonathan. It may have been the best thing he had, what he gave David. You know, really, Jonathan should have been the next king. At least that's what Saul wanted to see. That's how Saul thought it ought to be. David should not be king. Jonathan should be king. But Jonathan knew David was to be the king. He knew that God had a calling on David. And he supported David. He showed it. Literally, by giving him what he gave him, his robe and his armor and everything. Here, you are the man. That is what love is. Love is kind. Love is life. But what about jealousy? Jealousy is cruel. First Samuel 18:8-9, and Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have accredited unto David 10,000, and to me they have accredited but thousands. And what can I have more? Or what can David have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul eyed David. I don't get you down. I will destroy you. You shall not be the king. That's jealousy. But what happens to Saul? 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. To live in jealousy is not a nice place to be. But Saul was overtaken with it, and the Spirit had left him. He was afraid of David. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Saul obviously was not made perfect in love. He was full of fear. So, in this context, we can say, where there is fear, there is not love. There is no fear in love. So the opposite is true. There is fear in not loving. If there is hatred, you have a reason to fear, and you will fear. It will bring fear. And that is not a good place to be in. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, 4 and 5. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked, thinketh no evil. Seeketh not her own. Saul was seeking his own. He was seeking his own glory. Jonathan was not. Jealousy makes people do very cruel things. Genesis 37, verse 4, Joseph and his brethren. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. We know what happened to Joseph, right? His brothers sold him. But I believe those brothers, they suffered all their life for their evil that they did. Solomon's Song, 8 verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Love is as strong as death. Jesus is a perfect example of that, right? He loved us unto death. He died because he loved us. He did it in love because he wanted to save us. Jealousy is not satisfied till our enemy is in the grave. And even then, is it satisfying? Cain killed Abel. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire. And you know how hot coals can get. Very, very hot. Very, very hot. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3:15. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love is as strong as death. This is a love that 1 John is talking about. A love that will die for another. And this kind of love the world does not have. John 19:28-30, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Did Jesus see our need? Did God see our need? Did he see our plight as mankind? Yes, he did. Did he have the solution? He did. He knew what we needed. He knew we needed a Savior. Jesus knew that he was the answer for us. That his death and resurrection would be our salvation. That was the only solution to save mankind. If he had refused, if he would have said no, what could we conclude from God? Did he love us or not? If Jesus says, I'm not coming, if God says, no, I'm not sending my son, would that not have been hatred? It would not have been love. If we have something to give our brother or our sister, we see the need and we have it right here, and we withhold it, that is not love. When we give it, that is love. Are we doing that? I'm not here to say that you're not. I'm just putting it out here. Are we doing that? That's something that challenges me. And the other thing is, when we walk in love, we have light. That means that we will see things that nobody else does. That means that we can see needs like nobody else can. And that love is going to drive us. It's not going to be a heavy load. Walking in love is not a heavy road. It's not a burden. Do you think it was a burden for Jonathan to give up his robe and his armor to David? I don't think so. He gladly gave it. And that's the beauty of walking in love. May God bless you.